Begin the current Tam Sechtes Baba Kama Dav Samachay. We begin four lines down for the Tam of the Yamin, where the Gemara goes back to a halacha that it had mentioned in passing in the previous staff. That is, ultimately, we concluded according to the Man Da'amar that said that the two psukim there in the parasha of Shemer, which talks about the halacha of Kefal, were both talking about Tanya Tanya's Ganav. So, since where do we know the halacha and the parameters of the halacha of Kefal that apply to a real Ganav, a thief himself? So that we know from an earlier pasuk there in that parak in pasuk Gimel, which mentions in Mimatzi to Matzah Biyot HaGneva, and it goes on to mention Shor Chamor, said, talks about all the different things. Shnai Mishalmi, you have to pay double. So on that, the Gemara ultimately concluded in the interpretation of the Brayse of Ton Bechizke that was going with a Riba Mit Ribui. The two Ribuim are Himatzah and Timatzah, and the Mi'utim are then inserted in between with regarding a Ribui Mit and Ribui, and that's how it's interpreted. Then the Gemara said, so then, what do we do with Geneva and Chaim, which we had originally thought in the interpretation were the Kalalim, the bookends of the Kalal Pata Kalal? And that the Gemara said to teach Rav's Halacha, which is what the Gemara is going to go back to right now. Gufa, we learned that Omar Rav said, Keren Ke'en Shagana. When a person steals something, so there's a few different things that he has to compensate, he has to pay for. And the question is, according to what time do we evaluate that? So regarding the principle, it's like how much it was worth when he stole it. Whereas Tashlumi Kefal, regarding the penalty of paying double that amount when he's caught red-handed with the theft in his hand, and B'Tashlumi Arba'a V'Chamisha, and regarding when if he slaughters or if he sells the shor or the set, that he has to pay four or five times the amount, that's Keshas HaMada B'Din. That he has to pay according to how much it's worth at the time of the court case, not how much it was worth when he stole it. Now, as to Gemara, my time of the Rav, what's the reason of Rav? So this is the part that we had mentioned in the previous Dav, Amakra Genev V'Chaim, because the Pasuk says the term about theft and about living. Now, Amai Kamar, Rachmona Chaim B'Geneva, why is the term mentioning the concept about living regarding theft? As we pointed out, those are superfluous terms there in the Pasuk. That the drasha is, Ach Ye L'Keren Ke'en Shaganav, that you should make it like a living, meaning how much it was worth at the time when it was stolen, you have to be mechayit, you have to bring it back, so to speak, to life, as it was b'geneva, when it was stolen, which teaches us this halacha, that the principal has to be compensated for how much it was worth at the time of the theft. Now, moreover, including that halacha tells you, in contrast to the kefal and to the dalvei, which that's not kein shaganav, that's not geneva, that will be actually at the time of hamad b'din of the court case. Now, on that asked the Gemara, Amar Rav Sheshes. He says, Amina, I say, Ki naim b'shachav Rav amal hashmaita. When Rav was dozing off and sleeping, he must have said this teaching, which means say that he's disagreeing. They sound like we learned the Braisa. The Braisa says, Khusha v'hishmina. If, when the thief stole the object, let's say the animal, it was lean, and then he fattened it up. So, Misham tashlumi kefal v'tashlumi abar v'chamisha. So, let's say when he's caught red-handed with witnesses, that he had the stolen object, or let's say ended up slaughtering it and selling it. So those penalties, the kefal and dalvehei, he has to pay ke'en shaganav, how much it was worth at the time when he stole it. Now that contradicts Rav. Rav said that tashlumi dalvehei has to be the time of not when it was stolen, but rather when the court case happens, whereas it's only Karen, he says, ke'en shaganav. And here you see clearly that kefal and dalvehei are ke'en shaganav, not kishas amad b'din. Now, as Rashi points out, that obviously the Gemara's assumption was that whether if the object increased or decreased in value, it doesn't make a difference if it happened by itself, or if the ganav actively did it to make it more worth more, as in this case where he fattened it up, it seemingly wouldn't make a difference. So therefore that contradicts Rav. So Amri, they said no. Shabda Amalei, because the thief could tell the owner, wait a second, Ano patimna v'at chaklet, I fatten it up and you're going to take it? You can't take the value that I invested into your animal. Therefore, I'm not going to pay you for that amount, which I made it worth more. I should pay you on that premise, double that amount. Now, whereas, regarding if it went up in value just because of the price fluctuations of the market, or if it fattened by itself, not something that he actively fattened, then, of course, the halacha would be like Rav, that he would pay kefal as it is by the court case, not only kein shaganav. It's only over here that he's not going to pay how much it is right now because he made that investment. Why would you think I should pay double of the amount that I fattened up your animal? And that's why it doesn't contradict Rav. Toshima, the Gemara says, come in here, let's try to bring another raya, not like Rav. The Braisa says, Shmeina v'hekhisha. If let's say the animal was a fattened animal when he stole it, and then the thief weakened the animal, either because he worked it very hard, because he hit it, he weakened the animal. Says the Braisa, Misham Tashlumi Kevel B'Tashlumi Abar B'Chamisha. If he's caught red-handed with witnesses, or if he slaughters or resells it, he has to pay those penalties. Ke'ein sheganav, how much it's worth when it's stolen. Now here you don't have the logic that he said, well, you want me to pay for the amount that I invest, or you didn't invest anything. If anything, you made it worth less. So you see that the time of the Hamad Abedin is not the time that's Kaveya, that sets the parameters of the Kefal and Dal Behe. You see that he's going to have to pay the higher value, how much it was worth when it was stolen. That contradicts Rav, who said only Karen is Kein Shaganam. That you have to be Mechaya, how much it was worth back then, but Kefal and Dal Behe, you shouldn't have to be. And here we see clearly, even the Kefal and Dal Behe has to be Kein Shaganam. So I think Mar says, Nohasanami. There also, when he actively did it, Mishum Damrinale is because we tell the owner of the animal that he stole, Malikatala Kula, Malikatala Palga. What's the difference with if I kill it all the way or if I kill it halfway? And therefore, the logic that the Ganav would be telling him is, from the moment that I started hitting the animal or working it hard of weakening it, essentially, halachically, we view it as if it already began the slaughtering, the killing of the animal. And therefore, from that moment that he started working it, that already was like as if he did a tvicha, as if he already slaughtered the animal. And therefore, that was already back there in the beginning when he stole it. That's why it's going to be Kein Shaganav. Ki kama Rav, when did Rav say that Kefal Dal Behe is not going to be the time when it was stolen, rather by the court case? That's Beyukra Vezulah the Kamara. That's when it goes up or down in price by itself. Then the halacha is, by the Karen, you have to pay how much it was when it was stolen. Whereas Kefal Dal Behe is the time of the court case. But when he himself did it, when he increased it, I'm not going to pay double for the amount that I increased it. And when he made it less, he's also not going to pay for how much it is right now because he already started slaughtering it, so to speak, when he already started hitting it and weakening it. And from that moment on, as if he already did that, and that already made him liable for the penalties, from that point onward, it's not that owner's anymore. And that's what it's Kein Shaganav, not how much it is. But if it's just a price fluctuation, that's what Rav was talking about. It's going to be Kishas HaMad HaBedin, as it is by the court case. So the Gemara asked to clarify this halacha of Rav. Now that we understand the definition of his halacha regarding yukra bezula, price fluctuations, the Gemara says, hey chedami, so what would the case that Rav is coming to tell us? In other words, where he says that Karen's kein shaganav, but kefal dal behe is like how much it is by the court case. If Rav is coming to teach us the halacha in the case of, let's say, where originally it was worth one zuz when he stole it, and then by the court case, it already went up the price to four zuz, meaning, actually, as Rashi interprets, at the time when he got rid of it, meaning when he, let's say, sold it or when he slaughtered it, at that time, not when he stole it, that it went up to Dalet Zuzim, because that's the last time we have it extant, before we get to the court case. Now, if that's the case that he's coming to teach us that, okay, so the Karen will be Kein Shaganav, but the Kevon Dal Behe will be at the time of when you lost it, then Karen Kein Shaganav, so you're telling me in such a case that the Karen will then be only the one zuz that it was worth when it was stolen, and not, let's say, the four zuz that it was worth when he finally destroyed it, meaning when he sold it or when he slaughtered it. Lema pliga de Rava de Rabba, then let's say that this halacha of Rav disagrees with halacha of Rabba. Because the Amar Rabba says the following halacha. He says, Hayman de gozl chavita de charme mechavir. If someone steals a barrel of wine from his friend, mi'ikara shabi zuzah. When he stole it, it was worth a zuz. And at the end, later on, it was worth four zuz. And at that point in time when it was worth four zuz, tavre ashase, if he breaks it or if he drinks it, meaning if he destroys it from the world, mishalim dalid, he has to pay the amount of four zuz. Now the Gemara in Hamafket and Bab Metzedah from Gimel and Alf explains the reason for this halacha is because as long as it's still extant, it's still around, it's what's called b'shusa d'marakaymer. The owner still owns it. The fact that you stole it doesn't make it yours. He still owns it. You still have to give it back. So therefore, when it goes up in price in that interim, it's the owner that his object, his barrel of wine is going up in price. So therefore, the moment that it's destroyed, where the guy breaks it or that he drinks the wine, it's at that moment essentially that he's stealing it, although he had, quote, already stole it a while ago, but it's still, the owner still has it. When he finally destroys it is when he's essentially really stealing it. So at that moment, you're stealing something worth dalet zuz. But if itva memela, but if it breaks by itself, so then what are you making him liable for? You're really making him liable for the moment that he, when we call it what he stole, meaning when he took it from his domain, at that moment it was only worth a zuz. And he didn't steal it now when it shatters because it broke by itself. So therefore, in that case, mishalem mezuzis. So then you only have to pay a zuz because you're making him liable for what he do, for the actual taking at that moment, it was only a zuz. But one thing the Gemara says is that tevicha or mechira, slaughtering or selling, is regarding the principle like tavra ishasya, like breaking or drinking, which Rabba says is going to be dalad zuz, which seemingly that's not going to be like Rav, who said that no, it's going to be kein shaganav, how much it was worth when it was stolen, which is only one zuz. Sami, they said, no, you're right, that's not the case that Rav's talking about, because if it was like that case, it wouldn't be kein shaganav, it would be like the higher price. Rather, ki kama Rav, when did Rav say that the karen is kein shagazel at the time of when it was stolen, is going to be karashavi dalet, when it was stolen it was worth four zuz. Well, the slave shavi zuz at the end, when it was finally slaughtered or sold, it was down the price to one zuz. There is where the halach is, Karen kein shaganav, Karen will be as it was worth when it was stolen, the higher price of four zuz, and tashlum kevel, tashlum abav v'chamisha, kashasam ad bedin, whereas kevel, now, hey, that penalty will only be how much it's worth right now at the court case, which is only one zuz. Again, the contrast of the case of when he himself was hitting it made it worse, then it would be kein shaganav, as we explained in the previous price, because it was already tavach ha-machor, essentially, like malik tala mali palga, already at that time, but Rav's talking about a case of when it goes down in price by itself, that's where you have that discrepancy between Karen and on the other hand, Kevel Nal Vahit. So the Gemara says, Tanir Rav Chanina l'siyur l'Rav. So Rav Chanina taught the following price that supports this contention of Rav, his halacha, that Karen will be kein shaganav, whereas the Kevel Nal Vahit will be like the lower price that it is at the time of later on by the Tavach HaMachar, which is by the court case. The price says as follows, Balabai Shaton Tainas Ganav Bipikad, regarding a homeowner, that claims, regarding the deposit that was deposited by him, that it was stolen from him. So he wants to exempt himself. Vinishban, he swears, falsely. Vahidin, then he admits, I was lying, it's true, I really had it all along. Ubo Eidim, and then after that, and witnesses come also to verify that. What are you talking about? You said that it was stolen from you, you still have it. So the halacha is as follows. Im actually bo Eidim Haide, if he already admitted his guilt before the witnesses came. So then, as we explained this on the previous daf, Mishal Makarin v'chemesh v'ashem, he pays the principal, obviously, because that's what was deposited by him, has to give it back. He has to give the fifth of that value and a carbon ashem, as we learned from Sukkim, because he swore falsely regarding the deposit. The Torah mandates he has to pay a fifth more than the principal and a carbon ashem. Whereas Kefil, he does not have to pay because even though witnesses came, halacha is moed b'knas v'achakach bo edim yupater. If you admitted before they came, you're going to be exempt. But v'im mishabo edim, if it already had been that first witnesses came, which already made him liable for Kefil because he was caught red-handed with the witnesses first, and then Haiden, then he admitted his guilt, Mishram Tashlumi Kefil v'ashem, he has to pay Kefil because that's what the witnesses make you liable as a thief or even Toyin Tanaskanav for Kefil, and v'ashem and the carbon ashem, which is for this gizela that you had attempted to do, and v'chaim shay, regarding the fifth, which you are liable for together with the ashem because you did swear falsely, and then you admitted, that will be included in the kefil, because the double that you're paying for the principal is going to the owner. So to the fifth that you have to pay more is going to the owner. So the fifth is included, and you don't have to give a separate payment for the fifth than what the kefil that you already have to give because of the edim. So regarding your own admission, that fifth gets included. It's the same thing as the kefil. The Rabbi Yaakov, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yaakov. Now, as Rashi points out, which is fundamental to what's being discussed over here, the Rabbi Yaakov holds, must be that the two amounts, the fifth of the principal, and kefil, a double of the principal, must be the same amount. Because if the kefil was more than the fifth, then it wouldn't be, quote, a fifth. It wouldn't be an exemption for the halacha of fifth, because you have to pay exactly a fifth, because the fifth is an atonement for the oath that was sworn falsely. So therefore, it can't be, let's say, included in the kefil, it would have to be the exact amount. The exact amount, that would be a fifth, and only a fifth, and that would be the kefil. But, so one thing is, as the Gemara is going to explain, is that somehow, which this is supposed to support Rav, that the kefil is the same amount as the chaymish, says Rabbi Yaakov, although that you are liable for kefil and for chaymish, but it could be, if they're the same amount, as we'll see, then you don't have to pay a separate amount for the chaymish that's going to the owner, as the kefil is going to. Now, however, as we continue to Midbeis, they disagree with Rabbi Yaakov's fundamental. They say the pasuk says in Yikra, says regarding this halacha, says that the halacha is that he has to pay him, the one that he swore falsely to, bereishai, with the principal, and v'chamishasav, and the fifth, which it says he has to add on to that besides the principal. Say the chachamim, mamin hamishtalim b'roish, money that's paid with the principal, meaning that only the principal is paid, because the pasuk says v'hevi esa shamay, that he brings his asham, that is a reference to the keren, which is that he was asham, he was guilty, and he sinned. Because, as Rashi points out, it's actually a different pasuk that when it uses the term asham, es asham yovel Hashem, that's reference to the carbon asham. Here, the pasuk is referring to not the carbon asham, but rather regarding the actual ashma, the guilt that he has, which is of the principal. So it's only money that's paid b'raish. When you're paying only the principal, then ma'isav chemish. Then you add on a fifth when you swore falsely and then you admit. But mamish emishtam b'raish, but money that's not paid just the principal, like in this case that we described from Rabbi Yaakov, that Adam came first. So he really has to pay kefil anyway. Then the Chum disagree and they say, then ain ma'isav chemish. Then you don't add on a fifth. In other words, the halacha of a fifth doesn't even apply in this case. And therefore, they would hold that even if the fifth is not the same amount as the double, you'd be exempt because anyway, there's no halacha of a fifth in the case when you're paying double. Now, Shimon ben Yochai, he says, "Ein chemish va'asha mishtalim b'makom sheish kefil." He comes to add on to the Chachamim that not only is going to be exemption from the fifth in this case when witnesses came, but when you're not paying only the principal, meaning when you're paying a kefil, you're also going to be exempt from the carbon asham. That's what Shimon ben Yochai holds. So that's the Braisa. Says the Gemara, Reb Chanina is coming to support Rav, and he says, "Ketanim miyas." One thing that we learned was that Chaim Shay Oilele Bekfele Divrei Reb Yaakov. Reb Yaakov said that the halacha of the Chaimish, which he holds, you are going to be chayv, even though it's not Mishtalim Bereish that you're paying kefil, but the amount of the kefil is the same amount as the Chaimish, and then you don't have to give a separate payment to the owner. You're already giving him kefil. That's like as if you gave him that amount also of the Chaimish of your own admission. Ask the Gemara, Hei Chedami. So what would the case be talking about? And that is ilei medimi kari shabi dalad. If the case would be that originally when it was stolen it was worth 4 zuz, ulu b'seiv shabi arba, and also at the time of the payment was also worth 4 zuz, then how do we understand this? Chaim shei oilei b'kfeilei. How could the fifth be included in the payment of kefil? But kfeila arba v'chum shu zuzu. The kefil is going to be 4 zuz because that's double the amount of 4 zuz, and the chaimish, a fifth, is only going to be 1 zuz. And now since they're not the same, so then you can't call that kefil payment a fifth because it's not a fifth. It's more than that. And therefore, that shouldn't be useful in fulfilling the obligation of the fifth. Elolav rather proves Reb Chanina must be like this. Dimikari shabi arba. Or the b'seiv shabi azuz. When the stolen was worth 4 zuz. At the time of the court case, it was worth 1 zuz. The kefila zuzah. The kefil is, like Rav says, at the time of the court case, which is 1 zuz. The chumshe zuzah. And the fifth is also going to be 1 zuz, because as Rav said, the chaimish, that's really the fifth, the halacha, the fifth, is based on the principle, where everyone agrees that it's an extension of the principle halacha, where Chacham take it even further, they say it's only when there's just the principle. So therefore, just like we say that Karen is Kain Shaganav is as when it was stolen, so it comes out that the Karen is 4. The fifth that's added, which again, it's an extension of the Karen itself, is, when we say a fifth, Rashi explains, it's what's called milavar. It's a fifth from the outside, meaning when you have 4 and then the fifth one, that's the fifth, which is really a quarter of the internal, which is a quarter of 4, which is going to be 1 zuz. And the kefil is also a zuz because, as Rav said, that the kefil is kishas amad bedin, which right now it's only worth a zuz. So double that is also 1 zuz. Says Rabbi Chanina, Alma Karen Kei Shaganav. So you see Rav's halacha, that the principle, and so too the Chaimish, which is the extension of that, is as the time when it was stolen, which was 4. Therefore, that fifth, which is the external fifth, is going to be 1 zuz. And Tashlum Kevel, but Tashlum Davahei, is Keshasa Mada Bedin, is as the time of the court case, which is like Rav, which again, that's the same amount of the zuz. Now, the reason being is because if you wouldn't say like Rav, then if the Karen wasn't Kein Shaganav, then the chaimish wouldn't be a zuz, and if the kefil was kein shaganav, then it would be dalad. Obviously, you infer from this brisa like Rav. On that, Amar Rabbi says, no, there's no raya from this brisa to Rav. La'olam, truthfully, I could tell you, timikar shavi arba, v'hashad nami shavi arba. I could explain the brisa that originally was worth 4 zuz, and now it's 4 zuz. Now, with the kakasha, now the question that you had, which you wanted what's called shpar, you wanted to prove that it must be like Rav, you asked, wait a second, how could that be the same amount? Kfeila dalad v'chum she zuzah. The kefil is 4, and the chaimish is only a zuz. How could then that be included in that same payment? And that says, Rav, I could tell you, what are we talking about in this case? You're going to Nishba, where the guy swore falsely. V'chaz of a Nishba, and then again he swore falsely. Arba pamim, four times, and then behind, and then only after swearing four times, they said, are you sure you lied? No, I swear. And again, I swear, he swore four times, then behind, and he admitted. Now says Rav, v'atayra amr v'chamishay sav. The Torah says, and it's fifths. Why is it saying the plural? That teaches us the halacha that a Torah rips a chamishiyus harba bekaren achas. The Torah includes many fifths in one principle, and that is for every time you swear falsely, it's another fifth. And because of that reason, it ends up being if you swore four times falsely, yes, it's going to be based on the same thing. There's no differentiation I could tell you between when it was stolen and shasamad bedin. That kefal maybe is the same thing as the karen. So now how do we understand? Isn't then the fifth going to be one zuz, and isn't the kefal going to be four zuz? No, the fifth is also going to be four zuz. How so? Because every time he swore was another fifth. One, two, three, four. He did it four times. It's going to be four zuz. And that's how the chaimish is going to be the same amount as the kefal. And therefore, there's no raya to rav to this halacha of originally being one amount and at the end being a different amount and then differentiating between the karen and the kefal. Now, but once we introduced this braisa, which Reb Chanina had attempted to bring a raya to Rav, now the Gemara expounds this halacha of the braisa. So Amma, the Tana, the braisa had said, quoting one of the three opinions of Chacham Ayrim, they said, no, we disagree with Rabbi Yaakov's whole premise. There is no halacha at all of including chaimish with kefal, because there is no chaimish at the time of kefal. Because the pasuk says, bereisha, with the principle, v'chamisha yisav, and it's fifth, which tells you, mamen ha-mishtal and bereish, meisav chaimish, money that you're paying only principle, then you add on the fifth when you swore falsely and then you admit. Mamet she'en mishtal b'reish, money that there's no only principle, meaning when witnesses come first and you have to be careful, then in meisav chemish, then there's no halacha when you admit to your false swearing to have to add on the fifth. Now, but one thing the Gemara says, which was the actual disagreement between the Chacham and Reb Shimon ben Yochai, that avul asha maisi, but according to the Chachamim, you would still bring a karban asha. On that asked the Gemara, why? What's the difference? Why is the fifth you're not paying? As they said, because it says the principle, then there's a fifth. So the other halacha which is brought when the person swears falsely and admits on his own, where there's a fifth and a karban asham, should also not be paid. Because it says this halacha, it says, and this is in Vayikra Perakei Pasik Chav Dalet, where it says that he has to pay the principle and its fifth. And then in the next pasuk, in pasuk chavei, it says ve'esa shamay, and so too for this halacha, he has to bring a karban asham. But that should only be based on the fundamental of the previous pasuk, only if it's only bereishai. Why, when there's kefal, are you yes going to bring a karban asham? So amalecha Rabban would tell you that es paske kra. When the next pasuk says ve'esa shamay, what's the extra word ve'es? What's the es? It should have said ve'ashamay, and this karban he should bring. Why say the word S? That's extra to be pasuk. It separates, it severs the second pasuk from the first pasuk. The first pasuk is qualified with bereisha only when there's only principle. The karban asham is even when there's not just principle, even when he's going to be chayiv for kefal. If he admits to his swearing falsely, he will bring a karban asham. Now, the Gemara says, and so Reb Shimon ben Yochai, what's he going to do with that? It says S. He said that you're exempt not just from the chaimish, but even the karban asham. So he says, v'es arve kra. When it says, and the vav is always a vav, a chibur, connects, it connects to the previous pasuk, that comes and joins them together, and therefore he says that Hashem is qualified same way as chaimish of the previous pasuk, and therefore you are exempt if you chayiv kefal. Whereas for Rabban Namlach, they would tell you that if the vav, if the ve'es is coming to mingle and connect to the previous pasuk, they say, well then, lo lichter rechmana le vav le es, then the Torah shouldn't have written no vav and no es. In other words, if you want it to be the same as the previous pasuk, just leave out the whole word. Why say ve'es? Must be that, okay, vav is just continuing, but the es is separating the two psukim. Rabbi Shimon Yochai Amalech would tell you, no. Es lo yisagi de lekasav. Yes, I want to connect it to the previous pasuk, and that's what the vav is doing. But you're saying, okay, it would have been connected without saying es. Why say ve'es? He says, no, we needed the es. Why? Because it had to make somewhat of a separation. Not in the halacha. In the halacha, it's going to be the same. That's what the vav is teaching us. But the S has to be lav suki bein mom and gevaya, has to make somewhat of a separation between monetary halacha regarding Hashem, which is the karban asham, which is the second pasuk, lamam and hedyet, to the money that is going to have to be paid to the commoner, to the person that it was stolen from, which is the chaimish. because it's not respectful to have in the same pasuk to mingle the two concepts of having to pay to a person and having to pay to Hashem the Karban Hashem. So you need the S to make somewhat of a separation. And therefore, Hilka Chasavav, Avikra. So that's why you still need the Vav, but then to bring it back together to say, but that the halachic qualification, the previous pasuk, which says it only applies when there's just Karen, applies to the second pasuk too. And therefore, he says that also is Ashim going to be exempt when it's not just Bereshit. Now the Gemara continues with an Amurik teaching regarding one of the halachas of Dalad Vehe, regarding when there's Tvicha Mechira from something that was stolen. So Amr Be'ilah, he says, Ganav Telev, someone steals a lamb, which is a baby sheep. Venasa Ail, and becomes a ram, which is when it becomes 13 months old. Or let's say Egel Venasa Shari steals a calf, a baby cow, and then it becomes an ox when it's 2 years old. Says Rabbi Loa, Nasa Shina B'yadoi V'kanoi. So a change has happened in the possession of the thief, because it changed from a lamb to a ram, or from a calf to an ox. That's what's called Kinyan Shinui. A Shinui is a form of an acquisition, and therefore he's acquired it with the change. Now, he's acquired it to the sense of that Tavach Umacher. If now after it changed its character from a lamb to a ram, he now goes and slaughters it or sells it. Shalaihu Tavach, Shalaihu Meicher. So now he has sold or slaughtered his own ram, and therefore he's going to be exempt from Dalad Vehei. Because that's only when he slaughters that guy's stuff. Now he already owns it. Now, so of course he has to pay for the Karen, the principal, and he has to pay for the kafel if he's caught. Now, Karen would be as it was worth now. And whereas, because it's now that he stole it. Whereas kafel, as Rashi says, which is based on the Gemara later on, is either as how much it was worth when it was stolen, or as it is kishas amad bedin at the time of the court case, depending on what the form of the payment is. Now the Gemara continues with a related halacha on this topic of the payment of kafel and dal vehei from the following Amora. Amr Beloi says, Ganav Tlev Venasa Ail. If someone steals a lamb, it's a baby sheep, and then in his possession, it then turns 13 months old and thus becoming a ram. Or Egel Venasa Shur, he steals a calf, which is a baby cow, Venasa Shur, and then when it reaches 2 years old, it becomes an ox. Says Rabbi Loa, Nasa Shina Beyod Bekanoi. So a change has happened in the animal in his possession, and thus he has acquired it, what's known as shinu kaina. By doing something, a change to someone else's object when the person steals it, that is a form of an acquisition. Hence, says Rabbi Loa, tavach u'machar. Therefore, if he slaughters it or sells it now after it turned into an ayil or into a shayir, shalohu tavayach, shalohu meicher. Essentially, he's selling or slaughtering his own ram or ox, and hence he's going to be exempt from the payment of dal vehei, because that's only when it's that guy's who you stole that you're slaughtering him or selling his thing. But now it's already yours because you acquired it through shinui, so therefore you're exempt in dal vehei. But of course, the Karen, the principal, you have to give back, and you're going to have to pay kafel. Karen's going to be as it is actually right now, because now is the time when you actually destroyed it, as we said on Amud Aleph regarding that now, up until now, it was in his possession. Now is when you slaughtered it, now is when you ruined it. And kafel, actually, as Rashi says, as we'll see later on, depends how you're paying. Either it's going to be kein shaganim, as it was worth when it was stolen, or it actually is going to be kishas amad bedin, as it is worth right now. But that's the halacha that Rabbi Loi is saying, is that there's not going to be, in this case, of when there's a shinu that happens by the definition, the character of the animal, of tevicha mechira, because he's not selling or slaughtering that guy's thing. On that, Eisferib Chanil Rabbi Loi, he asked Rabbi Loi from the following brisa. The Braisa says the same case. Ganav Tlev Venasa Ail, if he steals a lamb and it becomes a ram. Egel Venasa Shur, steals a calf and becomes an ox. Says the Braisa, Misham Teshlumi Kevel Veteshlumi Abov Vechamisha, Kein Shaganav. That you can have to pay for Kevel and Dal Vehei, which that already is, as we see, is the contradiction to Rabbi Loi. But moreover, the Braisa says you have to pay according to how much it was when it was stolen, which Rashi forewarns and says the Gemara later on is going to ask from this on Rav, who Rav said that actually the payment of Kevon Dal Behei is Kashas Amad Bedin, as it is, as we said in Amun Aleph, from the time of the court case, not the time that it was stolen. And here we see that it's the time it was stolen. But Rashi says actually Rabba, who says that when you break it or you drink it, you're going to have to pay Dalit how much it is right now, not how much it was Kein Shaganam. It's not difficult because he could tell you that this Braisa is only told my Kevon Dal Behei. But actually, keren, when it does increase in value, it would be like it is right now, not ke'inshaganav. But that's regarding Rav and Rabba. But what Reb Chanin is trying to bring this for is to ask on Rabbi Lo, if it is like Yerba Loi says, that the guy acquires it by dint of shinui when it changes into a ram or to an ox, then why is he paying at all? Forget about Kain Shaganov or Kershasa Matabedin. Why is he paying for Dal Vehei? Shaloi Hutevech, Shaloi Meicher. He's selling and slaughtering his own. He owns it already. So why would you be Chayav Dal Vehei, according to your opinion? So Amalei, Rabbi Loi said to Reb Chanina, Velamai. I don't understand. So what are you trying to say? Shinu Loikon, are you trying to prove in this Braisa, not like me, that acquiring, that a change will not acquire it for the Ganav? Then Amai Mashalim, Kain Shaganov. I don't understand you. How do you understand the Braisa then? Why is he then paying Dal Vehei Kein Shaganav at the time that it was stolen? Leshalim Ki Hashto. He should have to pay how much it's worth right now when it's slaughtered, when it's sold, because he didn't acquire it. It wasn't his. And so it's only when he destroys it that then he sends, in a sense, really stealing it. So he should have to pay according to that price, not the price of Kein Shaganav. So Amalei, Reb Chanina said to him, no. Ki Hashto Hainu Taima Delei Mishalim. You want to know the reason why he's not paying to how much the value is right now? Is Mishum the Amalei is because the thief could tell to the owner, Turagan v'mimach? Did I steal an ox from you? No, I stole a calf from you. Dichragan v'mimach? Did I steal a ram from you? No, I stole a lamb from you. So therefore, although the Ganav didn't acquire it, says Reb Chanina, and that's why he's going to be chayav for Tzvicha Mechir, because he's not slaughtering his own thing, but still he can't pay based on the value it is right now as a ram or as an ox, because that's not what he stole. And therefore it's only going to be based on what it was, Ke'in Shaganav. Well, Amalei, Reb Loi responded to Reb Chanina, Rachamana Nitzlan Mahaydaita. Hashem should save us from that type of a thought process, because obviously he understands that you can't differentiate that. Either way you look at it, if the guy didn't acquire it, so then it should be right now, because now is when he's stealing it, when he slaughters it. And if he did, then I understand why then it would be Kein Shaganav, but then it shouldn't be Chayiv for Dal Vehei, because it was already his, and therefore he doesn't make that differentiation. Well, Amalei, Reb Chanina says, Trebeloi, Adriaba, to the contrary, Rachman Nitzlan, Midaita Didach, Hashem should save us from your thought process, that why didn't you see that there should be this very simple difference, according to Reb Chanina, regarding that, yes, you haven't acquired, it's not yours, the Shinu was not a Kinyan to say because it changed from it became 13 months old and suddenly it's yours, not yours, but however, at the same time that it's not yours, it doesn't make a difference regarding having to pay right now, because ultimately it's not what was stolen, and the payment for what was stolen is what was stolen, which is only Kein Shaganav, not what it is right now, because he didn't steal a ram, he stole a lamb. So that's their machlokes. Now, maskev l'Reb Zeira. Reb Zeira asks on Reb Chanina. Reb Chanina, who's asking from this braisa on Rabbi Lo, that he holds that you're not going to acquire with the Shinoi. Just because it became 13 months old or 2 years old, it's not going to acquire for the Ganav, and it would be Chayiv and Tevicha Mechira, as you see from the braisa. On that, ask the Gemara, ask Reb Zeira, but okay, so it's not a Shinoi to be Koiner through the fact that it just changed the day, next calendar day, oh, you acquired it. But v'nikninu b'shina Hashem. But however, although the change of the body is not considered a change, which we said that because it became 13 months old, because it happened by itself, but the name designation definitely changed. It has a totally different name. Up until now it was called one thing, a lamb, now it's called a ram. That is definitely a shina, so that should be considered a kinyan. Why is that not a kinyan, according to Reb Chanina? So Rav explains, no, there's actually no shina Hashem. Because Shor Ben Yoy Mekarishar, an ox that's a day old, is already called an ox. So although, yes, it's called a calf, and when it's 2 years old, it's definitely called an ox, but it really already had the designation of an ox as a day old. And Ayal Ben Yoy Mekar, Ayal, and also ram as a day old, although it's called a lamb, it already has the designation of a ram, and therefore there was no Shina Hashem when it turned 13 months old. As the Gemara explains, Shor Ben Yoy Mekarishar, how do we see that an ox, even a day old, is already called an ox? The Chassid says the Pasuk Miyikra. It says, Shor Oichesev Oiz Ki Yevalid, an ox or a lamb or a goat that will be born. So you see that already, on the day that it's born, it's already called a shor. So to Ayal Ben Yoy Mekar, Ayal, a ram, that's a day old, is already called a ram. That's like it says a pasuk in Bereishis, where Yaakov is telling to Lavan, what do you mean? Do you think I ever took from your thing? I watched your sheep. I watched everything. Ve'eli tzaincha lo'echalti, and the rams of your flock, I never ate. Now, the question is, Elim hu d'le'achal? So what's he saying? Rams he didn't eat? When they reached 13 months old, then he didn't eat it? But kvasim achal? But lambs he did eat? Allah Shema, the Gemara says what you could infer from Yaakov's statement was Ayal Ben Yoy Mekar Ayal. No, he didn't eat any of them because day old is already called a ram. And therefore it's not difficult on Rabbi Chanina, how he's interpreting the Braisa, which is difficult on Rabbi Eloi. Now, so the Gemara concludes, that Mikol Makom Kasha, that we really have the question still, although Rabbi Eloi didn't hold to the logic, let's Rabbi Chanina, but the Braisa is definitely difficult according to him, because the Braisa says, he's Chayiv and Tevicha Mechira, okay, it says Kein Shaganov, he doesn't understand how it could be Kein Shaganov and be Chayiv Tevicha Mechira, but ultimately says he's Chayiv Tevicha Mechira. He holds that once there's a changes from a lamb to a ram, he's not chayv on slaughtering or selling it, because shalayu tebech shalayu meicher. So how do you understand the brisa? So Amrav Sheishis, he says, homani is not a difficulty, because who's this brisa going like? Beishamahi. The Amri Shina bimkoymei medis. It's going like Beishamahi, who holds that even though the object changed, that does not remove it from the ownership of the original owner, that a Shina retains its original positioning. And that's why Beloi Kani, that's why he haven't acquired it. In other words, doesn't contradict Beloi, Beloi is going like Beis Hillel, who generally holds Shinu is Kaina. So since it changes from a lamb to a ram, of course you'd be Kaina, and you wouldn't be Chayv Tevicha Mechira. This price that you're asking from is not a difficult. It's going like Bishami, who holds that Shinu is not Kaina. Just kind of like learn the price. Nosan lo be'es non achitin. If a man was Mezana with a Zoina, with a woman that was designated just to have Bia, and he gives her what's called an Esnan. An Esnan is a gift that he's giving her for the act of his Nus. Now he gave her wheat, and she turned the wheat into flour. Or let's say Zaysan Vason Shem, and he gave her olives and she turned it into oil. Or Anav Vason Yain, he gave her grapes and she turned it into wine. So Tani Chada Asa, we learned in one braisa that that's going to be Asa to be wrote as a carbon, because actually the Pasuk talks about that you're not allowed to bring an Esnan Zayna or Mechir Kelev to Hashem to bring as a neder, because it's an abomination where this gift that was for an act of Znus, you're going to bring to the as a gift to Hashem. Now, here where it was changed from when it was given as a gift, there's a machlekes. One bryce says it's still forbidden to bring as a carbon, but Tana Chadimota, another bryce says it's permitted. Now, the Amrav Yosef, he said, Tani Gurion de Me'aspork. Gurion from Aspork explained that it's Bishami Oisnu Bishil Matirin. Bishami is the one that says Aser, and Bishil is the one that says permitted to bring as a carbon. Now, my time in the Bisham, what's the reason Bishami? The Chsib, because it says in that passage in the Varm that we just mentioned in Perikhov Gimel Pasuk Yates, says Leisavi Esnan Zayinu Mechir Kelev. Not allowed to bring the gift that's given to the harlot or the exchange for a dog, which the other one gets, the sheep, the lamb. You're not allowed to bring that Beis Hashem Lekecha to the house of Hashem your God. L'chol neder for any vow, meaning when you have to bring your carbon. Kisayav Beis Hashem Lekecha Gam Shneim, because the abomination of Hashem your God Gam Shneim. Also both of them, meaning these two Esnan Zayinu Mechir Kelev. What's Gam? That's an inclusionary term also. L'rabba Shinuim says Beishami, that's coming to include even the changes, meaning even if it changes from the original form that was given as a gift, from wheat to flour, still that's still going to be included in the Isra of Esnan Zayna. So you see that the Shinu is not Koine, it doesn't change it from the designation that it had when it was given as a gift to the harlot. Which again is like Rav Sheish is answering why it's not difficult in Rabbi Loi from this place. It's going like Beishami. Whereas Beis Hillel, they hold, when it says Haim, it says there in the Pasuk that they, which tells you that V'loi Shinu Ehem, meaning this term that it says in the Pasuk, which it says Shnehem, as the Mefarshim explained, that it says Gam Shnehem them, so it doesn't say the word Haim, but it says these two, meaning only these two, and not when they change. So therefore, actually when it does change from wheat to flour, it's actually going to be permitted to be brought in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, Ubishame, however, they hold Hahu, that where it says Shnehem, that's coming to, as we continue the top of Samach Vomanaf, to say, Haim, yes, those two, V'loi V'loi, they same Hudasa, and not their children. An outgrowth of that, that's going to be permitted. But the thing itself, even though it changes forms, it's still going to be Asa. Whereas the Beis Hillel, Tarti Shamet Mina, they say that you could learn out two things from the word Shnehem. First of all, Haim V'loi Shinu Yehem, these two things, them and not their changes, because Shinu is Kaina, like Rabbi Eloi goes like, and Haim is V'loi V'loi the same also when it says these two things, them and not their children. Now the Gemara asks, however, Beis Hillel Hoksiv Gambo, what does Beis Hillel do with the source of Beis Shammai? Beis Shammai says, how do I know that even including the Isters, even when it gets changed, the Shinu is not Kaina, because it says also both of them, what's Gam coming to include according to Beis Hillel? The Gemara concludes, Gam le Beis Hillel Kasha. The word Gam, according to Beis Hillel, is definitely difficult. What does he do with that? Similarly, it's coming to include something else that's also forbidden. Beis Shammai explains that coming to say, even it's Shinu Yehem, even if it gets changed from wheat to flour, it's still going to be Aser. Beis Hillel holds that it's going to be Mutter, because they exclude it from Shnehem, Haim below below the same, Haim below Shinu Yehem. It's actually difficult. What would they come to explain? What does the word Gam come to say? But that's one thing that the Gemara was coming to answer, that it's not difficult in Rabbi Loi from this Braisa, because it's going like Beis Shammai, hold Shinu is a Nukain. So Shinu is not Kain. Of course, it doesn't help that there was a Shinui of turning from a lamb into a ram, and of course, you can be Chayav and Tevicha Mechira. Rabbi Lo's halacha was based on Beis Hill, which definitely is the halacha that's not difficult, that yes, he holds that changing from a lamb to a ram is considered a shinoi, and therefore kaina, and therefore when he slaughters it or sells it, shaloi teveach, shaloi himaycher, and that's why he's not going to be chayiv on tzvicha mechira of dal behe at all in that case.